advanced, cutting-edge research in a STEM field. Or perhaps you are captivated by the study of Kantian philosophy or medieval Chinese literature. Whatever it is, in-depth study of a particular field has captured your heart and mind. Now, what do you do with this passion and this fascination? You know that tenured positions in academia are harder and harder to find. Can you find a career that needs your PhD? That's the question we're going to explore today. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. Welcome to Admission Straight Talk. Before I introduce our guest, I would like to introduce you, our listeners, to related resources at Accepted. Specifically, Choosing a PhD Program, Three Tips by Dr. Rebecca Bluestein, and I think the name of the special report says it all. And the second one is Get Your Game On, Prepping for Your Grad School Application, a free special report. Both are free special, instantly downloadable reports, by the way. Get Your Game On will help you evaluate your profile, skills, and experiences to determine if, when, and where you should apply to graduate school. We will include links in the show notes to both these resources. So, how did I come to invite Dr. Paula Chambers, my guest today, to Admission Straight Talk? Early in November, I received a link from someone recommending a New York Times article called The Repurposed PhD, Finding Life After Academia and Not Feeling Bad About It. I read the article about jobless, struggling PhDs who found themselves at a meeting organized by the Versatile PhD to support their pursuit of a non-traditional, at least for PhDs, career. After reading the article, I immediately decided to contact the founder, Dr. Paula Chambers, and invite her to the podcast. But she didn't immediately say yes. She wrote me, "My thing is non-academic careers for PhDs, not graduate school admissions." A phone conversation ensued in which I explained that I believe a successful graduate school application starts with a clear post-graduation goal. And if she can open my listeners' eyes to alternative careers and perhaps help them clarify their goals, then she has information that is of value to graduate school applicants. In the course of our delightful conversation, she agreed, and here we are. Dr. Paula Chambers earned her BFA from CalArts Film School and spent several years working in Hollywood as an assistant director. She returned to school and earned an MA in English from Cal State Northridge, and then her PhD in rhetoric and composition from Ohio State U. Professionally, she now runs the Versatile PhD full-time. Welcome, Paula, to Admission Straight Talk.
Linda, thank you. I'm really happy to be here talking with you.
Great. How did you come to start the Versatile PhD, and can you give us a brief history going back to its listserv origins?
Sure. Well, if you turn the clock back to 1999, I was in the final 2 years of my PhD program in English, rhetoric, and composition, to be exact, at Ohio State. I was writing my dissertation, and I made a personal decision not to go on the academic job market. I felt that my temperament and some other things about me that I had discovered during grad school would indicate that I would be happier in a non-academic career. So I was looking for information about what else a humanities PhD like me could do outside the academy. So but I didn't find any, because in 1999 there really wasn't much talk about that. There had been some, but it was hard to find. So I created a listserv because it was 1999, and that was the technology that was available at that time to create an online community around a shared interest. So I created a listserv called Work For Us. Work meaning non-academic careers, us meaning humanities PhDs. And I never imagined when I was founding that listserv that the impact that it would have over the years. It grew and grew by word of mouth, and it helped thousands of people while I was running it just as basically as a hobby. I did it as a gift to my fellow graduate students so we could create a safe space to talk about non-academic careers. And why was a safe space even needed? Because there is a lot of cultural stigma, more than there is now, but there's still some, about non-academic careers. You're not supposed to talk about them. You're not supposed to do them, or heaven forbid, be genuinely interested in them. So I created a listserv to create a shame-free, safe space where we could talk and exchange information about non-academic careers without fearing for our academic reputations.
Wow.
I know, unbelievable, isn't it? It grew and grew. It helped thousands of people and became, without my even knowing it, it became a go-to resource for university career counselors who would be seeing humanities PhDs who would come in like in tears, not knowing what to do. And my list gave these counselors some place to send these people. Meanwhile, I finished my own PhD in 2000, and I had a successful career as a grant writer, which is a good career option for humanities PhDs. Mm-hmm. But I eventually decided that helping PhDs find their way outside the academy was my life's work. And I decided that if I had the opportunity, I would like to build on the success of Work for Us and make it available to more people, because there's so many more people that could have been helping. So in 2010, that's just what I did. I transformed it from a listserv to a website, from a hobby to a business, from Work for Us to Versatile PhD. And it now has over 38,000 members and is the leading online resource for PhDs in the research disciplines, in all of the research disciplines, and is helping so many more people.
So it's no longer limited to humanities and social sciences.
No, ma'am. It is 2 years ago I created a special discussion forum on the site for STEM PhDs. Mm-hmm. And there are no real barriers. Anyone can participate in either discussion forum, but I wanted to create a dedicated space for them. So now I serve all of the research disciplines.
How can PhDs combat the loser stigma or the stigma period that they may face in academic circles for pursuing a non-academic PhD? Non-academic position?
Well, first of all, know going into your PhD, be aware and awake going in that the academic job market cannot accommodate even close to all of the PhDs that are being produced. So right. It is statistically quite likely that you will end up in a non-academic career, whether it is your choice or not. So the mathematics does not support the stigma. If 80% of all PhDs got academic jobs and 20% didn't, then you could reasonably say that the 20% were probably not as good as the other 80%. But just like in the regular working world, other things besides pure merit go into the choice of which candidate gets hired over another. And when only a minority, when like in some disciplines it's as little as 25% of the graduating PhDs get real academic jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, when only 25% of you are going to get the academic job, you can't say the other 75% are losers. You just can't. They're not losers.
Of course
I mean,
not.
If they're losers, it means that the schools that they attended decided we're going to admit a bunch of losers. They don't make that decision. They think we're going to admit good people, right? So
brilliant
they are
people.
Good, brilliant people. And so know going in and remember while you're there, no matter what you hear, remember that a lot of brilliant people are finishing their PhDs and not getting academic jobs. And they are going into non-academic careers, and they will continue to be brilliant in their non-academic careers. So think of yourself as already one of those. Think of yourself as versatile. You don't have to talk about it necessarily. You could. You don't have to. But inside, you are in control of how you see yourself. And don't let academic culture make you see yourself as, gee, if I don't get an academic job, I'm going to be a loser. You are not a loser. You are versatile. And you can do many different things.
Talented, too. I noticed you said that the career services offices at many universities were actually using first your listserv, and I'm sure now your site. Is the attitude of the career services offices different from, let's say, the rest of the academy?
Radically different.
Okay. Yeah.
The academic departments where the programs, the PhD programs are housed, they have one outlook, and the career centers have a completely different outlook. The career centers are all about what does this student really want? What gifts does this person have to give to the world really? And where would this student be happiest and best placed and most productive, regardless of whether it's inside or outside the academic world? Whereas in your department, when you're a PhD student, you mostly hang out in your department. You hang out with your fellow students in your same program that you're taking classes with, your faculty, your department chair, your staff. You're in this departmental bubble, where it's like you're inside these four walls and all you know is what's the departmental perspective, and that perspective is very academic-centered.
That's the ivory tower.
Yes, that's the ivory tower. The career centers are not Ivory Tower. They are profoundly open-minded about where you could go.
How does the versatile PhD help PhD students and degree holders? What services and resources does it provide?
Well, there are three main things to know about how versatile PhD can help either a grad student or a PhD holder. First mm-hmm. of all, there is a community on the site, which is free. And I know, you know, people say, oh, yeah, there's a community. No, no, this is really a community. Some of these people in the community have been were subscribers on Work For Us when they were struggling in 1999 or 2003.
How
got their jobs.
How many members do you have?
I have like 38,000 members.
Fantastic.
And
go ahead.
Some of them have been in the community for years. They've
wow.
stuck around even though their own career matters are resolved. Now they're, for example, a historian with the National Park Service, or they're a marketing expert at some company, right? But they're still there because they know that others like themselves need their help. So this is not just grad students talking to grad students. It's grad students and happy post-academics who are reaching a hand back to help the grad students come forward.
It's also not just the blind leading the blind, which I think is
correct.
The problem with many applicant forums.
Yes, it is not the blind leading the blind. These are people who have been through a very arduous and can be psychologically challenging transition, and they've come out on the other side, and they're there to help you. So the community is one thing. Secondly, if you click on PhD Career Finder, that is an interactive tool that lays out for you what are the best career choices for your academic discipline. So you can browse possible careers for your discipline and learn about them and sort of imagine yourself, gee, would that be something I would like to do? I don't know, maybe. And you can learn about what it takes to prepare for that career. So that's a resource that's available to everyone for free as well. Finally, the premium content, which is attached to the PhD Career Finder, gives additional rich detail and inside information about each of the careers described in the Finder. And it gives, for example, resumes and cover letters written by PhDs who got the job. These are mostly the resumes and cover letters that got the person their first post-academic job. So this is them making the leap. And they come with a narrative describing exactly how they got the job step by step. The premium content is only available by institutional subscription, but a lot of institutions subscribe. So look at the home page and see if your school is on the list. And if it isn't, you can help put it on.
Is it also available to alumni of those institutions?
That depends on the technology of the institution. We allow all of the affiliate groups at an institution to access Versatile PhD, but we can't control their access mechanisms.
Got it.
So if alumni have a different way of logging in that doesn't click with our technology, we can't help them.
I understand. Now, I said earlier that I firmly believe graduate applicants and PhD students should have a goal for their education before they start it. What do you advise PhD students to do if they either never got that advice or ignored it, or if their goals simply change, like yours did, in the course of your PhD? And let's face it takes a long time to complete the PhD. The market could change, your goals can change, your situation can change. Absolutely. What do you suggest they do if they wake up, as you did, 2 years from completion of this lengthy degree, and find that what you thought you wanted to do isn't what you wanted to do, or you're unlikely to be able to do it?
Right. Either way, the outcome is the same.
Right.
You're going to be doing something else.
Right.
I will say that if you listening to this are in a PhD program already and you don't have a goal, or you have only a vague goal, you are in the majority. You're not like retarded or something because you don't have a goal. Even though
most people don't listen to my advice.
That's right. I'm sorry, Linda. Most people don't listen to your advice. I didn't listen to your advice, although I didn't know you. The reason I went into a PhD program is, it's, oh, wow, man, 7 or 8 years of pure school sounds great. It just sounded delicious to me to do nothing but study the subject matter that I had come to love and to attain the highest degree of achievement in that subject matter. Yes. I was like, okay, that's what I want to do. And I had only the vaguest notion that at the end of that, I would pop out as a professor of rhetoric and composition. But it's such a long time commitment. You can't even, I mean, that actually discourages goal setting, and it makes you just go because you want to go.
Yeah.
So I was absolutely normal in that regard, and many of your listeners are normal. So if you are like I was and you don't have a goal, or you have only a vague and possibly unrealistic goal, know that you are normal, but try to develop a goal as soon as possible and start planning for it. The PhD Career Finder on Versatile PhD is a very helpful tool because it describes the careers that are available to you and gives you ideas for how to prepare. And then if your goal changes during the program, that's fine, same thing. Lather, rinse, repeat. Go back to the PhD Career Finder, pick another career that interests you, and start preparing for that one. And don't feel bad about it. You're going to hear messages from your professors. You may hear messages from your professors like, oh, it's not worth it to spend time preparing for a non-academic career. Yes, it is. Because if you are putting all of your eggs in that basket of getting the academic job, you are putting yourself at great risk of total devastation when you don't get the job. If you haven't prepared for anything else, it's like, gee, if I don't get that one brass ring, I'm nothing. I'm a disaster. Don't make yourself that vulnerable.
What are some of the typical roles and industries? Maybe, I mean, obviously the range of degrees is vast. So,
yes.
If you could just give us a couple of examples, let's say a few examples, non-academic roles and industries, for example, mm-hmm. for social science and humanities PhDs, and then alternatively, where I think, frankly, opportunities outside of academia are probably greater for STEM PhDs, but for both.
You know, what's really interesting is that many people believe that STEM PhDs have more opportunities outside the academy than humanists and social scientists. In fact, it's not true. They have more choices that are obvious.
Okay.
But humanists and social scientists have more choices overall, but they are less obvious. Because if you think about the skills that humanists and social scientists, and by that I mean qualitative social scientists, the ones who are more on the soft end of the social science spectrum, the less sciencey end, their skills are about writing and critical thinking and analysis and case building. Those activities are foundational to most non-academic organizations and endeavors.
Right.
I mean, what business doesn't need to articulate the case for why the customer should buy the product? You know, what business or what nonprofit never needs to do research to learn more about a subject that its work touches on? They're pervasive, but because they're so pervasive, they're invisible. They're like the air. So the humanists and social scientists have as many or more paths, but they are less obvious. So for STEM PhDs, obviously they can work in industry or in government doing their science. But less obviously for STEM, they can work in consulting, in nonprofits, in marketing, in patent law, in science writing, and science policy, to name just a few examples. And they can continue doing research, or they can move into non-research roles that still use their scientific knowledge. That's fairly easy. The humanists and social scientists, the obvious choices are, well, you can teach high school, right? It's something everybody knows and understands. It comes immediately right to mind. Or maybe, oh, you can be a writer or an editor or go into publishing. So that ends the obvious choices, right? Obvious are many diverse roles in business, government, nonprofits, like program evaluation, policy analysis, marketing, again, all disciplines.
Consulting.
Related to marketing. Consulting, all disciplines. Institutional research is a great way for a social scientist or even a humanist to do research, but it's not scholarly research and you're getting paid for it. So there's a lot of roles that people haven't even heard of. I mean, who really has even heard of being a grant writer, which I did? I mean, grant writing, what? You know, it's not so unusual or boutique-y, but it's not as universally well-known as high school teacher or writer. So there's kinds of writing, technical writing, grant writing, copywriting, all kinds of things. So it's more pervasive and therefore harder to see.
Do you have different advice for, let's say, PhD students than for people who actually have the degree already, who've completed the program? and either can't find a job or no longer want a job in the academy?
Nope, the advice is pretty much the same, pretty much, mostly the same. Learn about alternative career paths, pick one or two that interest you, build your qualifications to get into that field, network with people in that field, use all of the resources that are available to you, no matter what your current situation. For example, a PhD graduate who has left his or her institution, you might not know, but your Career Center serves alumni. Why don't you check out their website or give them a call and see, hey, I'm an alum. Can I get some career counseling? Can I get some help? Maybe the answer is yes, right? But if you don't look, then you're not going to use that resource, even though it's available to you. And obviously, all groups should join Versatile PhD because Versatile PhD serves the whole PhD life cycle, from graduate school to just finishing the PhD and settling on your first career choice, and then even beyond as your career evolves. So Versatile PhD serves the entire PhD life cycle. Well, the only differences I would say in the advice for those two groups is that graduate students are kind of extra lucky because you as a grad student are in sort of a bubble of good fortune. You are at an institution, you probably have health insurance as a student, you have resources all around you, so you have more obvious resources to use, and you have opportunities to snag little volunteer assignments that will build your non-academic qualifications. If you're already out of your PhD program and you're not affiliated with the university, then it's a little bit harder, but the advice is the same.
Now, you mentioned that you serve the entire life cycle of the PhD. Mm-hmm. How about the applicant? Is there anything applicants can do before they start a PhD program to better position themselves for careers outside of academia? I mean, let's take, like I talked about, the person interested in Kantian philosophy or medieval Chinese literature. They want to pursue that passion, as you said, to the ultimate degree, attain the highest level they possibly can, but they cannot count on a tenure track position. So as an applicant, what can they do?
I would suggest, first of all, do not go straight through from your bachelor's to your PhD. Do not. I'm not saying don't get your PhD. I'm saying don't get it immediately after you finish your bachelor's. You should work for at least 2 years in between. The most miserable people that I deal with are the PhDs who went straight through from their bachelor's to the PhD and then they didn't get an academic job at the end. They have no experience outside of academia. They have no idea what else they can do. They have totally absorbed the academic cultural stigma against non-academic work. So for them, changing careers at that late stage feels like a disaster. Mm-hmm. So don't be like that. Work for at least 2 years. Save some money if you can, and then decide if you really want to get the PhD and why. What is your reason? Be honest with yourself and know that no matter how brilliant you are, you're probably not going to get an academic job. So don't let that be your only reason. Have other reasons or other outcomes that would be acceptable to you at the end.
And is there anything you advise PhD students to do while they are in grad school to better position themselves for careers outside of the academy? Well, I guess we kind of addressed that in terms of volunteer work and things like that.
But I can be more specific.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes,
go ahead.
The PhD Career Finder does give specific suggestions for how to prepare for each career. So I'm not going to read you the whole PhD Career Finder, but I will say that there are some good ideas that everyone should do, such as just educating yourself about non-academic career paths is a good idea in your the early years of your PhD program when you're really focused on acclimating to grad school. At least keep your other eye on the PhD Career Finder and look at those career descriptions and identify a few that sort of stand out for you. That alone is a meaningful step because you can envision yourself doing something else. Then as you go along, network with people in those fields.
Sure.
Do informational interviews.
Oh, yes.
Have jobs that you might enjoy. I mean, just who doesn't love to be asked about their opinions and their lives? I mean, nobody gets interviewed. Most people don't have the pleasure of being interviewed by someone about how awesome they are, right? So pick up the phone or send an email and call that person. Say, you know, hey, I know you're, you know, the director of business development at blah, blah, blah. Company, I know you're very busy, but I'm really interested in a career in your field, and I wonder if you could talk to me for half an hour, either on the phone or over coffee. They're going to say yes, I guarantee you, not 100% of the time, but if you call 10 people, you'll get 7 yeses. So do that, and also in grad school, pick up as much practical work experience as possible while you are still in school, even if it's unpaid. Paid, unpaid, it almost doesn't make a difference. Like students in humanities programs, for example, are often encouraged to take on what's called service assignments, like serve on a committee for a year or be involved in the Graduate Student Association or whatever. Choose assignments strategically so that they can help you build a track record of the skills that are valued outside the academy. Employers recently gave feedback to academic leaders that PhDs are really good on the subject matter knowledge and all that, but what they're looking for that they don't have as much of and need more of is teamwork skills, right, project management, oral presentation to lay audiences, and delivering outcomes on time and on budget. So if you choose committee assignments and other things to do in your schedule at grad school, that will allow you to participate in a team, manage a project, give an oral presentation to a lay audience, or deliver something on time and on budget. That is a huge help to yourself later on.
That is an excellent piece of advice for whether you're an applicant, a student, or whatever. If you are preparing yourself to be the versatile PhD, then
that's right.
That is just outstanding advice. Paula, are you happy you got a PhD?
I am, actually. I am. I loved my graduate school experience. I loved exactly what I went there for, to learn as much as possible about rhetoric and composition. I just love persuasion with words. I love seeing how people do that and what has been written about that and how to teach that. It's very hard to teach, actually, and a lot has been written about how to teach it. So for me, it was a beautiful interlude where I got the luxury of delving into a subject that I personally cared about on a very deep level. And then now, as it turns out, I couldn't do versatile PhD without being a PhD. So
sure.
For me, in a uniquely on-target way, yes, it prepared me for my career, but, you know, that's not so available to so many people.
Right. That won't work for everybody. But the point is that you, as an entrepreneur, you responded to a need in the marketplace, and
yes,
you turned a passion and a love into, as you told me at the beginning, you know, before we went live, as your full-time mission and
yes,
really purpose. So that's
yes,
that's fantastic.
Yes, thank you. And anything you choose to do, whether it's go to a PhD program or do something else, you, that experience is going to affect you, and you're going to learn from it and discover things about yourself, and then you will make your next choices based on what you learned during that experience.
Sure.
So, you know, I would not say that getting a PhD was intrinsically better experience than if I had worked for 8 years, but it would have been really, really different. And I don't know what I would have learned and done had I taken the other route.
Right. And what about, are most of the members of Versatile PhD, I mean, are they like, okay, I'm just exploring different options, or are they bitter? Do they feel they've been sold a bill of goods? I mean, what is the mood of the forum, if you will?
Yes, the mood encompasses a full spectrum of feelings. Some of them, as I said, are these happy, well-adjusted post-academics who are there to encourage others. So they are very positive about future prospects for a PhD. And some are grad students who are who still think they're pretty likely to get an academic job, and who knows, I mean, maybe they will be one of the lucky ones, but they're interested in at least listening to what people are saying about non-academic careers. So there's not a great deal of emotion or commitment. They're just kind of curious, and they're lurking in the community to just learn by osmosis. And there are people who are bitter. There are people who got their PhD and who say, okay, so 9 years of my life, and I would have been financially better off had I started working right after my bachelor's. You know, now I have children. I can't support them as an adjunct professor with no job security and no benefits. So there's a range. Some people do feel bitter, and the tone of the discussion forums is sort of kaleidoscopic. It changes from day to day. There's positive days or positive threads in the discussion on the threaded discussion board, and then sometimes someone will say, you know, I'm really angry. And once someone was pulled back from the brink of suicide a couple years ago, they shared with the forum that they really felt that they had no prospects and no hope and were totally depressed by their whole situation and really thinking about just ending it all. And so we pulled them back. So that was kind of both a positive and a negative moment, very positive end result.
Right. Well, that's for sure. Very, very interesting. Thank you very much. Paula, I think we're almost out of time here. Where can listeners learn more about the Versatile PhD and your work?
Well, I recommend they start with the Versatile PhD website and read the About page. And if they're interested, to join and read, lurk in the forums, you know, become one of the many, many lurkers that just read. And you don't have to say anything. You can learn a lot from reading. And then when you're ready to say something, speak on.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing your experience and your knowledge, your insight, your advice. It's been great. We'll include a link in the show notes at info.accepted.com/33, both to the Versatile PhD and to the accepted admissions resources I mentioned earlier. Listeners, thank you too for joining us for our 33rd episode. As always, please share your feedback. 5-star reviews on iTunes are particularly welcome. You can leave any kind of feedback on iTunes, the blog, or by emailing linda@accepted.com. And if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.